position was what now? He was at the group level?
I thought he was group, yeah. I kind of thought he was group after seeing there were a few changes there. Guys were getting shot down, and one thing another. And I think maybe he was after, could he have been after Gideon?
Or was he the operations officer? That's what I was thinking.
See, I don't remember that. I know he was a colonel. Mm-hmm. He was a lieutenant colonel at the time. Yeah. See, I think I did. I fly with him on that. She took the papers.
I think I saw his name for one mission.
I think I flew with him on that Schwagot thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Brown and Carr were the big dogs over there. They were. That's all you heard was Brown and Carr. He was a group navigator and a group bombardier. You know, they had a lot of successful missions. You know, and he and I really got to be pretty good buddies. And when I went to the first reunion, it was up at Dayton, Ohio. We were up there and we're ready to leave. See, I didn't stay up there because it was so close. We just drove up there and back every day.
Right.
And the last day we're there, somebody said, I said something about Brown, said, well, there, Brown, there he is there. And here he's walking down the steps. And I went over and talked to him. And I wish the heck that I'd have got to talk to him more. I didn't realize it. Mm. I was talking to him on the steps for a few minutes. And he told me he was from Bicyrus. Is that how you pronounce it, Ohio?
I honestly
something like that. Bicyrus, I think it is the way it's spelled, Bicyrus. And he was telling me he was a lawyer.
Hmm.
And later on, we had something happen at the reunion out here at the airport. And I thought, I'm going to call Brown and ask about this, whether this was really this way or not. Because sometimes people remember things different than somebody else remembers it, you know. So I called, and he was in pretty bad shape. His wife told me, says he's in no condition to even talk to you, so I never did get to talk to him again.
Hmm. I know you showed me a lot of photographs that you helped Major Kaywood take. I guess that was one of the things that kept you busy in your spare time over there, what little you had.
Yeah, what happened, I also took a camera with me, and I took a lot of pictures. Mm-hmm. And after your film was gone, there was no way of getting more film. So Kaywood, he had experience with this. I think he had dealt in some photography before he went in service. So he says, come on, we'll go over and develop these films. So we would go over, and we'd develop our pictures, and then we'd re-roll and put more pictures in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we ran across all these negatives over there. So we start developing some of these negatives. So that's why I wound up with a bunch of pictures of things that I didn't even know what they were of, including some of those bomb strike photos.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with those bomb strike photos from Pulaski and from Budapest and places like that. So that's how that all come about.
Were you able to take a lot of pictures during missions, or was that not allowed?
Some of them. A few, but not many. Not many while the mission was going on.
Right.
I had other problems
while
the mission was going on. The navigator was kept pretty busy the whole way, you know. And see, they had a navigator in each plane. In case something would happen, he'd have to find his way back, you know. So almost every navigator was kept busy. Now, bombardiers, what they all did, the lead navigator, when he dropped the bombs on a bomb site, the rest of them didn't even look in the bomb site. Mm-hmm. They just hit a thing and they pushed a button.
Right.
So when his bombs went out, all the rest of them just pushed a button and the bombs all went out then at one time.
So. Maybe you could describe like you say, the navigator was pretty busy most of the time. I'm guessing you probably had one of the most intensive pre-flight types of briefings and things, didn't you? Could you describe a mission, a typical mission from start to finish?
Before the mission?
Yeah. Before the mission, the briefings you had to go through and the preparation you had, and then describe the actual mission?
Yeah, I tried to. What they would do at the mess hall, the night before, they would put a list up, and the list would have the crews that were going to fly on the mission. And they had the time that you would fly. In fact, that's where I found this one where Akers was taking my place, and I raised all kind of hell because they had him in place on that mission. I guess there was a reason for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the next morning you went down there, and they only opened up the doors at a certain time, and everybody's standing outside the door. And of course, if somebody had been to Pulaski before or somewhere like that, there weren't too many places as bad as Pulaski. But if they had been there before, the first thing they wanted to do is look at that map on the wall. So as soon as they opened up that door, everybody rushed in there and they'd sit down. And they had a big map on the wall, and they had a ribbon. And it would go not directly to the target, but it would go like up to here. And then at a certain place along that line, you would pick up your fighter escort. And then, you know what the IP was?
Initial point?
That is the initial point. You flew to the initial point, and when you got to the initial point, they were going down the bomb run. And at that point, the bombardier took over. Mm-hmm. And he was really taking over the whole plane. Pilot hit on automatic pilot, you know, and that the hairlines lined up, this one and that one.
Right.
And when they did, then that's when the bombs went out. So at the briefing, everybody got up. The armament officer got up. The different ones, intelligence, and everybody got up and they said their piece of what kind of bomb load you had, what kind it was, what the target was going to be, what you're going to find at the target. And everybody got up at that briefing. The navigator got up and he hit his chronometer. He gave a time hack. He was supposed to have the exact time, you know, everything was in Greenwich time.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had their clocks out. We had like a stopwatch on it. He'd give them a time hack and he'd push it at a certain time so everybody had the same time. And then we got out there and I think I used to shoot off flares, if I remember right, on it, for takeoff. And as I remember, I think we took off doggone near a minute apart. And there was a little prop wash there, you know, from from the planes.
Did you normally take off early in the mornings then? Or?
Yeah, we were usually back shortly afternoon. We're usually back from our missions. I think if you look in that book, it gives a time off and time back. And we were usually back shortly after noontime. And let's see what happened on the... Anything else happened over there? I'm trying to think. Of course, Axis Sally. She was on her every day.
Broadcasting on the radio.
Broadcasting on the radio. And she's always after the cottontails. You better get out of Italy. We're going to wipe you out. And it was a known fact that we'd go up on a mission and there'd be other groups up there and the fighters would be after them and they'd see those white tails and they'd leave them and they'd come after us. So I heard rumors about what happened. You probably heard them, Devin. Sure have you?
I have some.
Yeah. I heard the rumors about what caused that.
Mm-hmm.
But the white tails were the ones that they were after. So then they'd come over after us all the time.
So fighters, maybe you can just compare maybe the two biggest threats, I guess, you experienced, fighters and anti-aircraft artillery, which was the worst? And
well, fighters were bad, but we sort of neutralized the fighters as the missions went on.
Mm-hmm.
Near the end, it wasn't fighters at all. You didn't see any fighters. And I can remember, I was dumb when it come to different kind of aircraft than that. I was interested in the mathematics part of the thing. That's why I went into navigation.
Mm-hmm.
But Healy, he was one of these guys, he knew all about everything. I remember a couple of missions, he said, "Hey, the Germans got some jets sitting down there. I know what the hell he's talking about. Got some jet airplanes sitting down there on the ground, you know." But
did you ever see any jet fighters?
I didn't see them, no. No, I didn't see them. No. Yep.
So were most of the targets defended by anti-aircraft artillery?
That's what I was going to tell you, that most of it near the end was anti-aircraft, and they were accurate. They were really accurate. They'd shoot up one blast and they'd knock an airplane down. We had the one mission where we were flying over Yugoslavia, and Treloar was in the plane with me, and Treloar says, "Hey," he said, "it looks like there's a steel mill down there or something, all these big pipes sticking up down there." So I told Kay what I says. "We're not going over that," I said. So I gave him a direction to go. We headed off to the right and then back to the left. Here comes another group. They're right over the doggone thing. They come up and they shoot down two blasts. They knock an airplane down. They went right over top of the thing. So they were really accurate. Now later on, it seems like to me like when I was out in the Pacific, the very first time I went out there, the Japs shot something down. And we're up at I don't know what altitude. And the Japs about... flak's about 10,000 feet below. I said, "What the hell is that?" He says, "Flak." I said, "Flak? They're not even anywhere close to the thing, you know." So they weren't near as accurate as the Germans were. The Germans were really accurate with the flak.
Can you tell us a